Welcome to A Chat in a Garden with Monique AJ, where significance blooms in athletics and sports business. I'm excited to be with you today and really excited to be able to announce when we air on HSRN, that's Heritage Sports Radio Network. Welcome, listeners, from that platform to A Chat in the Garden. I understand that we are airing every Friday at 12 noon and on Sundays at 8 p.m. And so I'm glad that our airwaves are connecting. I'm so excited to share these phenomenal women who are leading in athletics and sports business. I think you're going to be really excited about our guest today. Before I introduce, I have some more announcements to make. Yesterday, December the 15th, was Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Day. Yes. And so I kind of expanded it and made the Collegiate Athletics AD Day, because I don't think we had one. So since they established it, I just expanded it. And I just chose that day, December the 15th, to launch our Significance in Athletics and Sports Business magazine pre-sale. Yes, it's in production. It's in production. But we have a cover. We have a cover. So we have 16 contributors to the first issue, which will be a bi-annual magazine. Comes out in the spring and the fall. That's March and August. And some people think August is the summer. No, in our world in athletics, it becomes the fall because you got to go back to school in the fall. And so in the fall begins August, like the mid-August. And practice begins when? The 1st of August. So guess what? August means fall. So both our magazines will come out in March and August. And so I'm excited. And so I post that inside the Facebook group. And just to celebrate one of our contributors who is a high school athletic director and athletic trainer. And guess what? In the fall issue, we have the 3-time AD of the year for the region of Georgia. If you are a high school athletic administrator, you're going to want to get this because you're going to want to hear the pathways of women who have already done it and how they have really navigated that trail. And so that's why I say they're all significant. Everyone has a significant pathway, and that's what I made the magazine because I really wanted to highlight the secret sauce, the specialized knowledge of the women that are in athletic administration and sports business. Here we talk about the career path, but in the magazine, you find out how they became known for what is their specialized knowledge. What have they produced on their campus? What is it what problem did they solve and how did they solve it? And I'm excited about it. And if you want to subscribe, that means you get both magazines and you are on the scene, go to payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. Go to payhip.com/seeds of empowerment, and you'll see the subscription piece, or you can go ahead and pre-order the spring version for $15, okay? And, hey, you can hear more about it, but I just want to highlight our two high school administrators or Scholastic Athletic Administrators Day. I just thought that was so neat. I think they did that, too, because their convention was is always in December. But I think it's fantastic that they have a day. And until we have a day, we're going to piggyback on their day, okay? It's a new year, y'all. New year is coming around the corner. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about saying goodbye to 2020. Yes, I really am. But, you know, in all things, there's growth. And that's why we're a chat in the garden when things grow. And that's what it comes called, season empowerment, because we're all trying to grow. And so I'm a planner. So for me, planting seeds is planning. I come from the country of Sussex, Virginia. My grandfather was a lumberer. We live on 40 acres of land. So knowing what to plant, when to plant, is crucial. It's crucial. And so I've always been a planner. It's so funny. I would always have a little Hallmark pocket calendar in my little pocketbook. I'm talking about, let's say, at least from the fifth grade on up. And I had everything planned out. So I was doing what I normally do. And I noticed that January was coming around the corner. And every January for the last 3 years, I have gone to the Black Student Athlete Summit. And when I tell you, it's like having homecoming in January. It's just being around like-minded individuals who have done research on improving or spotlighting issues that hinder the growth of our Black student athletes. And again, I've developed a family there. And hey, yes, almost everything we know to be is virtual. So we must do what? Adjust. And in any sport, the team who adjusts the fastest is the team who wins. So we're going to be winning in 2021. So we usually have our annual morning breakfast during the Black Student Athlete Summit. Yes, we get up early and we meet downstairs we just introduce ourselves to each other. And I'll tell you, the garden has expanded every year from that gathering. And most importantly, jobs and positions have been gotten from that connection. I'm here to tell you. Dr. Angela Burtis, who has now been at Mississippi State University for over 3 years, or at least 3 years, she and J.P. Abercrombie were the first attendees to the first breakfast. And how many people know that it's not how many people attend, it is who attends that makes it bloom. So the three of us sat there, and J.P. said, because Dr. Angela Burtis is a sports psychologist, and she says, you know, we have an opening. We had an opening for a while now. We opened back up because we didn't have any good fits or candidates. Now, Dr. Angela Burtis, she was already had her own shingle out, and she was doing contract work with different universities. Had no idea. Again, this is January. I think it was April. She called me. I just meant to call you and tell you I'm going down to find a house because I just accepted a job at Mississippi State University as a sports psychologist. Okay? So if you wanted some connections that will change your life, you need to get up in the morning. It's 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, January the 7th. Now, it's going to be on Zoom, so you know I don't play around with the Zoom boom thing, okay? So you're going to have to register, and you're going to want to register because guess what? I'm going to send you one of my favorite things for breakfast so that we can feel connected, okay? So, hey, if you are a member of the Garden or you are attending the Black Student Health Summit, you've already registered, come join us. Come join us. So I have not had a moment to put it on in MoniqueAJSmithZoomRoom.com, but that's where it will be after I get off the air. It's going to be MoniqueAJSmithZoomRoom.com, okay? That's how I make sure that everybody in the room should be in the room. They're supposed to be in the room, okay? All righty. And so, interesting enough, I put a post up from, I think it was 2019's breakfast, and I'm looking at the picture right now as I speak, and our longtime sponsor and author, Tawana Smith, she was right there in the place, y'all. That's what I'm trying to tell you. People who contribute, become media partners, are truly partners with us, truly partners. So she wrote the book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And she actually, doing my coaching of planting that seed that you need to come and speak at the Black Student Athlete Summit. And so she came, and she, I think she did a poster presentation. And just sharing the presentation, she talked about the black hole. Now, what I was really planting seeds, y'all, let me tell you what I was really trying to care to see, that the way her mind thinks, again, Surviving the Lights of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoiding the Curse is a general book for the public. However, the way she presents it, it is like a researcher, because almost everything is like, as research shows. And for instance, she says research shows that in order to have transformational change, you must have peer education. So therefore, she uses people profiles of individuals who have gone professional and the pitfalls they have. So you see what I'm saying? And she just could have just gone ahead and just did the profiles. But she wanted to tell you that it's more important for you as an advisor to get them to see that people that have gone the way they have gone, to be able to share that information back. And so I knew that this was her crowd, okay? These researchers who are all doing, showing resources that will assist the Black student athlete to be successful on and off the field and after their student athletes. I knew this was her crowd. So guess what? She just, I think she got a 4.0. She just finished her first semester at her PhD program. So, you know, I'm a happy planner, okay? You know I'm a happy planner because I planted that seed and she's doing well. And, again, I think she's had some other people to say to her, other advisors, you need to go get your PhD. But she says it was because she attended the Black Student Athlete Summit and she saw where her research and whatnot can impact change on a larger scale. So if that even piques your ears up any, you need to just at least attend our little breakfast. And guess what? I did just read that extend the early bird registration to December 31st. And people, I'm trying to, this is a steal, okay? A steal. Registration, and mind you, they did not pay me to say this, okay? They did not pay me to say this. So, again, this is a resource that I'm giving to you that you need to partake in it. The registration is only $150. Now, when it was in person, that bad boy at least $350, okay? So this is virtual. Yeah, you can be mad at COVID if you want to. You need to be able to say, thank you, COVID, so I can go ahead and experience the Black Student Athlete Summit. And they've had some phenomenal speakers, okay, over the years. And, yes, it's on YouTube, and you can go back and watch some older ones. And it's 8 hours. It's 3 days. It's 24 24 hours of great content. But I'm telling you what really is important is the networking. So I am using this opportunity as usual to connect the practitioners to the researchers, because I think it's really important, because it opened my eyes up to a lot of things. And I won't go into too much of it, but, you know, some things such as human trafficking of athletes, international athletes, that was eye-opening. Never even thought about it until I saw a presentation about it. Hey, again, I'm a lifelong learner. If you like me, make sure you register for the Black Student Athlete Summit. The early bird ends December 31st. Anybody who is connected with me, I encourage them to submit a proposal to speak. Okay? As usual, I got two people in the funnel to do that. And come join us for the breakfast. And I would say by 12 o'clock today, go to MoniqueAJSmithZoomRoom.com. Or you can go ahead and just click the button inside the Facebook group. And I put it up yesterday, which is December the 15th. And you should see a picture of us at breakfast. And you do want to register pretty early so you can get my little gift so we can all be all together, okay? Speaking of books, hey, almost coming up on 1 year of having my, I understand it's a bestseller, but I have a chapter in a book. The book is called Removing the Face. My chapter is called Public Figure Mask. And I would love for you to have it in your hand, signed by me, especially if you are, just to be honest, a veteran athletic administrator and you may be wondering how to navigate all of the different pressures that occur. And I know you got pressures now. I know you got pressures now because your decisions are fluid and you really, the uncertainty is large. Uncertainty is large. And you kind of don't want to feel like you're making a mistake, but guess what? You can't make a mistake when things are fluid. All you got to do is make sure you continue to be communicate with people. That's the key. All right? But, yeah, so if you want to know about my journey in athletic administration, you need to get this book because it starts from college until my first year as associate commissioner for the CIAA. And so where I hit a wall literally and figuratively. I took my mask off and told you the real deal because I want you all to be successful. And knowing your triggers, your mental health is key. Knowing how to set boundaries is so important. It's so, so important because concern about letting people down. But when you let yourself down first, you can't uplift anybody else. So if you want to get my book, go to publicfiguremask.com. Publicfiguremask.com. Well, there are all of my announcements for today. So it is my pleasure to bring our guest to bring my guest to the mic, to the live mic. And I had a chance to watch her on a virtual panel, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I must have her. And so, I went straight to LinkedIn, and I cooked up with her. And so, we've never spoken. And, again, I'm so glad to bring the women in athletic administrations where significance blooms to the garden. So let us welcome Giovanna Overshone, a senior associate AD of external affairs at Baylor University. Welcome to the garden. Welcome,
good
welcome,
morning.
Welcome. Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
I am good. It's a pleasure to start the day this way. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so delighted. And so let's just jump right on in and tell our listeners your journey from college to your current position.
Yeah, well, thank you for starting with that. I always like sharing a little bit about my journey because it's not the picture-perfect image of what most would believe is the path to my current seat. So, you know, I've even jokingly said to some of my coworkers who I dearly love that I know when I was hired, some of them were thinking, what are they doing? Because it was different. But the reality was, so prior to my my stint in this chair, I had about 10 years of experience in marketing, communication, and sales at various levels, much of which was in higher ed, but with no athletics experience. So completely outside of the industry. At the time I was hired, I was plucked up from a small Bible college in South Lake, Texas, again without sports. But those 10 years of work experience, most of my time was spent what I say is on the peripheral of the industry. You know, I cheered for 4 years in college, as much as I try to hide that. And then for a while, I even coached cheer at SMU. I married a high school football and track coach for 16 years. And sports have always been a part of my life, but never for a minute, you know, early on did I think it would ever be my profession. So I remember reaching a point and feeling just, you know, unreasonably unfulfilled in my work and not really understanding why. You know, I had had favor at every place. You know, I don't neglect that fact. I had advancement, but I just knew deep within something was missing. And I think a lot of people get to that place, but I remember questioning myself and thinking, can I really be happy in a job? You know, is there, there's no reason why I should feel unfulfilled. But anyways, God's amazing. And it was around that time that my husband actually started pursuing a master's in sports management. And at the time I was very early on in pursuing my doctorate, and I was so intrigued by what he was studying. And I jokingly say he hopefully never listens to anything, but that it's a duly earned degree because we would dialogue about his, I mean, look, I earned 50% of that, so it piqued something in me, and I started looking at careers in the industry and not even knowing the magnitude at the time of what I was looking for. You know, I ended up seeing a position, got a call, and then kind of the rest is history. So the running joke in our household is that God got our paths crossed. He crossed our blessings. We have daily affirmations on our mirrors. We've done this for years and years and years. And even before we were married, we each independently did it. But his was always very much geared toward athletics, and athletic director was on there and other sports-related types of things. And mine was more kind of on the corporate or academia side. And so, you know, when two or more have gathered in its midst, we read each other's. We affirmed one another. And so anyways, we jokingly said I affirmed his too much because that's where I landed. But as much as we joke, you know, I really do. It's funny how you can feel like you're a square peg in a round hole, but when you look back, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I look back and just see the intricacies of God's hand and how he really did. This was for me, and it's clearly for me, and he's really prepared a path. You know, my experience in real estate toughened me up. You know, my time as a cheer coach prepared me for student-athlete engagements. You know, all the different challenges and steps along the way, you know, really prepared me for this role, and I'm so grateful for it. But certainly didn't wake up, you know, thinking this was going to be the pathway when I was young and you know, realize it's not the typical path, but I'm so blessed and so thankful for people that take chances and look outside of the norm, because that's exactly what I've had here at Baylor.
Well, how long have you been at Baylor?
So almost 4 years. Yeah, almost 4 years.
Now, you said you applied
Yes. I was one of those people that actually sees a posting and applies to it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I just wanted people to hear that part.
Yes, yes. Which, you know, I learned even in the interview process that is not your typical. I mean, certainly,
mm-hmm.
You know, if this is a connections industry, by all means.
Mm-hmm,
But yeah, Doug McNamee, who's now the president at Magnolia, he happened to see an email come through late in that evening, and I think connect with me the next day, and we started having conversations, and next thing you know, I was on campus, and it was just a good fit. He even told me in the interview, you know, this is not typically how this works in athletics. I think that the naivety that I had of the process allowed me to believe it was possible, and that then
mm-hmm.
allowed me the opportunity. But yeah, just your normal, there's a job, apply and go.
I think all avenues that lead you to your dream job should be experienced, because yes,
yep.
It is a, and that explains. I'm like, okay, I've never seen this name. I've got to meet her, okay? You know? But people
yes.
always connect with me because they think I can help them get the job. And usually what I do, I talk to them, and I see who I know that they know, and I say talk
right.
to them to speak. Because, I don't know you per se, but the person
yes.
that I do know that I trust can speak
right.
on your behalf to this person. And so...
Right.
But I have got to dial back, because the spiritual foundation that you just gave, girl, and here's the interesting thing. I was not going to mention this, but before I dialed in today, I belong to the Boss Network, right, which is Bring Other Successful Sisters Along, and she had Priscilla Shriver on.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
See, I knew that you were going to know who I was talking about.
Yes. She's a powerhouse. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my. If you can see me, I got goose pimples, okay? But I did not
yes.
know that her father was Tony Evans.
Yes. It makes sense, huh?
Yeah. Because, again, in my mind, I'm like, okay, where did this chick come from? I have never heard
mm-hmm.
of her. That's out here.
Mm-hmm.
She's on YouTube everywhere. And talking
yes.
loud, getting your attention, and then, you know, she did something with the movies and whatnot. But it's
yes.
interesting that you said affirmations that you used, and there's another group that I have called the Advanced Academy. Those are women who have partnered with me, who want to get their first or their next job in athletic administration, and we meet every month. And this month, we're going to talk about affirmations to build confidence. And so
yeah, yes.
you just laid it right there for me. I could not touch that. So let's talk about these affirmations and how it built confidence and then led you to where you are today.
Yeah. No, it's been powerful. I mean, I think it's, for me, it's been the affirmations help me to look beyond, you know, current circumstances. I think it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, what you expect things to look like or how you expect things to play out, what, you know, the natural tells you is going to occur. But those affirmations for me each morning, and I mean, it has to be in a prominent place. Because seeing him just one time, for me, was not enough. I needed, even if it was just that kind of subconscious, that subtle reminder of seeing them. And maybe you're only catching a couple of them, you know, in an additional moment. But it was just the reminder of being able to go beyond. And so, I mean, it really was. I mean, even in just to be encouraged, even in the tough moments, you know, and again, just to know that you're worthy. And one of the things on mine was, it seems so silly, but it's just around the corner. It's just around
mm-hmm.
the corner. That
mm-hmm.
next thing, whatever it is, you know, don't turn back now, because you might not see that you are literally steps away from your gift or your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been pivotal for our household, and especially during the time that we're in now, well, I guess, what, 11 months of this pandemic or whatever it's
mm-hmm.
been, and so much just going on nationally, it's just been nice to have that foundation and just that reminder of just God's goodness and grace. And yeah, it's been pivotal for us.
And I was thinking about to my marriage, and I was doing that before I got married. I would
mm-hmm.
study a scripture, and then I'll put the scripture on an index card, and then
yes.
it would be in my bathroom. I remember before
yes.
I was married, this guy came to fix my plumbing, and the guy,
uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out why I didn't hear him moving and, you know, cleaning, you know, fixing my toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
The man was standing there reading all my affirmations. I was like, okay, that's a little personal. I don't know you.
yep.
You know, and then
yes.
I just thought about it. My husband writes, I would say the affirmations. I just thought they were comments. He would,
yep.
Different
yep.
dates, he'll say, bless us. And then he says, I just looked at it this morning. And
that's so fun.
Yeah, so I'm going like, okay, dear, we're doing affirmations
yep,
together.
It's neat. Yes, yes.
I mean, different ones. It doesn't always say God bless us. He's got love us
sure.
or something like that. And so that's a bonding moment.
Yeah. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so that's one reason why I called the magazine Significance. Thank you. I know that every time they have to say the name of the magazine, in their mind, they realize that they are significant.
Mhm. Mhm.
You know, and I it's so interesting that you kind of said, without saying it, you know, to the outside world, it's like you're ungrateful, you're spoiled when you think you
right.
have everything that you should
right.
have, but you knew you weren't fulfilled, and you did not give into what the general population thought that you should
right.
feel.
Right.
How did
absolutely.
You do that?
Yeah, you know, I think that it was in those moments, and I, you know, I even said there was a period where I did question, like you said, am I being just a brat, you know, am
mm-hmm.
I... You know, a lot of times people say now, oh, it's generational. You know, is that just the mentality of, you know, this generation? And, you know, for me, it was like, no, I go back to God's promises. And I know that there is fulfillment. That doesn't mean it's going to be without struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that what I was feeling was more than just you know, dissatisfaction. And it's funny because now being on the other side, I see it, because we know this industry, it's ups and downs. It's, you know, it's a hamster wheel at times, but
mm-hmm.
even on those tough days, I feel that sense of fulfillment. And,
mm-hmm.
It's just such a joy. And I think it's really, I feel like it's an encouragement to people, and to be able to say that there is, like, you know, when you are within your path,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you sense it, you feel it, even in those difficult days and moments. But yeah, I think I just, you know, I was so determined that I knew life could be more than just a what if, or there wasn't a missing piece that couldn't be fulfilled. So yeah, I just really pressed in that time. And you know, it wasn't like, you know, it's not like a movie. I mean, you know that, where you pray and, oh, God reveals in some magnificent way. No, but it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm grateful for at least committing to just walk that path.
Well, I know that this is divine, because in my brain, when you say God talks to us in a different type of burning bush,
mm-hmm.
and the burning
mm-hmm.
bush could be COVID for some people, you know?
Yes, yes.
And he burns the bush to get your attention, because otherwise you're just going to go about your way. And
right.
that's why he does it, you know. But there's something you just said, and I had to write down, because previously, I want to say maybe 4 minutes ago, you said, you know, I just wasn't happy. But then mm-hmm. you just said there is a fulfillment. It is such a joy. And so
yes.
I think that is the difference. When we seek happiness,
yes.
that's based on circumstances. But when you have joy, joy is everlasting. And so, yes.
Absolutely.
In athletics, you're going to have ups and downs, wins and losses. But there is a joy in it. And you know that
right.
that's where you're supposed to be. So, being that we are in athletics and it is ups and downs, how do you, what is your joy?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, you have to walk away at the end of the day and go, we get to do this. Like, this brings people together. I mean, we're in the middle of signing day now, and, you know, our theme for this signing period is person over the player. And it's just this idea that you just have these people from all walks of life and all different backgrounds and families, and it's the fabric of who they are that will allow them to perform for you at a high level. And it's just the idea that everything we do, I mean, external for us, you know, there's a lot of the, you know, the flash and the rah-rah and the engagement pieces and, you know, the fundraising and all of that, but all of it in its own way impacts that student athlete's experience. And it's just, it's so cool to think that we get to watch people compete. We get to play a part in competition and shaping lives beyond. Just really is, it's a privilege. And you have to remember that. And I mean, that's not to say every day's rainbows, but
right.
it's getting back to that and remembering, you know, kind of the why and what that joy is centered on. And it's really special.
Wow. This is interesting because I did a workshop for Delaware State last month, and what they asked me to do was to do something with the coaches with the millennial student because of the portal.
Yes.
And so I created this workshop called the newly committed game.
Oh, neat. Uh-huh.
And so it's kind of based on the newlywed game. And, you know, with the newlywed game, yeah, you know, because how much do you know about with student athletes? That's what's going
right.
to keep them from going to the portal.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why
yes.
you and I are like-minded. The person over the player is very mm-hmm. similar. I mean, you got to know something about the kid. Like, do they like rice or mashed potatoes?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, something as simple as
yep.
that. And
yep.
then if
uh-huh.
you want to go even further, why do they like that? You know?
Right, right. Right. Absolutely.
And so it was a big hit. And so I've expanded it with different questions and whatnot. And, I'm excited about being able to.
That is awesome.
Thank you. To adhere to what the client wanted and then be able to take something that came out of my head and see it being utilized and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I can see that being useful. And I started creating that before we had COVID. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. yeah, because I was
mm-hmm.
watching Last Chance U and All-American, and
uh-huh.
that's and I teach psychosociology of sports at Hampton University. And that's what, and I was listening to the players that were in my class, and I was like, that's it. That's it. I mean,
yes.
literally, when you go and look at the recruiting process, it's the head coach. But then when you get to campus, it's not the head coach that you are engaged with. And so
right.
to the kid, it's like, you lied to me. Well,
right.
no, to the
mm-hmm.
coach, this is the process. Well, did you explain the process to the kid that, you know, I mean, I can get it because, you know, as an AD, I'm not going to be the one doing so. Because I tell people all the time, they call me the delegating queen. I'm going like, I'm so sorry. That's what leaders do, and I'm sorry you're not one. Because that's what, I'm not going to sit here and do this. Now, I've done it. I know how to do it. But I can't do the visionary if I'm sitting here doing what needs to be done.
Right.
Now, if you don't want to do it, I can find somebody else to do that.
Right.
So it has to be some communication, because that's where the angst comes in. That's where the trust dissolves. You didn't tell me that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very quickly.
So all you coaches listening, tell the kid what's going to happen, that you will not have access to you all the time like they think they are because you can't talk to their mother and eat their food.
Right. Have to set expectations for sure.
Yes. Well, my engineer is telling me that I need to go to break, and when we return, I'm going to tackle some of the questions that I have for you. So we're going to take a short break here in the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith on Chat in the Garden.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the Chat in the Garden where significance blooms in athletics and sports business. Well, I have a question that's going to probably take us to the end. So, being that we are in this new stage of COVID, how are you able to do your job of engaging? What is your new normal? And I'm going to talk about all your areas. Resource development, how are you able to do that during COVID? I'm going to go down the list.
Yeah, you know, we've been blessed to have a really strong constituent base, you know, and I have a really creative team. I mean, I cannot give them enough credit. I actually think we've leveled up in this time. And, you know, it's been what's key for the resource development piece is just communication. I mean, it is a challenge to, you know, kind of convey certainty when there isn't certainty. We're drawing back on our core, our student athletes, we want to still be able to offer them the same level of support and care and attention that we would in a normal season. So though sports might look different, though our schedules and you know, the amount of games that prayerfully we're able to get in may look different, really our push and what we've been trying to convey to people are just the stories. And it kind of goes back to our conversation earlier. I mean, if you are relating with the student athlete, if you are drawn to the stories and the potential that is there, then, you know, we have people that care and are continuing to give that are able. And we're also trying to get creative and what giving looks like and what that means right now. But yeah, we've been fortunate that we've been able to tell some compelling stories and have a base that is still able to keep us in the positive.
I love that. Tell a compelling story. That's one reason why I got into the business, because I studied communications in college, and I always say I can promote anything, and because you can tell a story about anything. And human interest stories are what grabbed me to pick one team over another, the Super Bowl when I was in eighth grade. And that's exactly, I think it was Elway, and it did a they did a story on Elway and his mother. And I said, I'm close to my mother. I'm going to go for the Broncos over
it's
Marino.
Amazing.
Yeah, over Marino and the Dolphins. And so, you know, to some men at the time, it was boys I was sitting with, they thought that was really frivolous, right? But I didn't care. Because if it changed my mind, if it decided, make a decision. Because if I'm going to sit here and watch this game, I got to have some kind of connection.
Yes.
And that's the same way I try to promote anything else. Were you with the school when they won the national championship?
With women's basketball, yes. Yes. Fantastic.
Well,
yes, what a ride.
Well, here's the thing. We're talking about connections. I don't know. Is there a Chloe? Does Chloe sound familiar to you?
Yes. Yep. We have a few Chloe. So Corey Pinkett, perhaps.
No. On the team, on the Baylor women's basketball team.
Oh yes.
Just talking about connections. I worked with Boo Williams, the AAU coach, and that was her AAU coach. And we're in the process of making a video, and we were like, okay, the names that we have are Allen Iverson, Alonzo Mourning. There's some names that, that the young people are not familiar with. So the thing was, we need to put the younger kids up there, and we just did that last week. We had a meeting today. And so the last clip is of your young lady winning shot from Baylor. So I just want to show our connections.
Oh, how funny. Yes. That is, it's very small. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I was like, isn't that young lady that was right there? So tell me about what you said, interesting ways that you were creating the fan engagement.
Yeah, that all looks different. I mean, we're currently still at 25% capacity. That's where we remain throughout football season. And for basketball, that's how we're approaching things. So it's we don't have as many fans in venues, but we still have, you know, obviously a great deal of supporters. So we're trying to create kind of dual experiences. So really it's been – and in many ways, more work for the team. You're trying to create an exciting virtual or at-home experience with use of, you know, apps and, you know, pushing creative content to them and you know, kind of side or adjoining kind of broadcasts or pieces on social. And then you're also creating an in-venue experience in a you know, half-empty arena. So we've had to do a lot with our web platforms, our apps. We've done a lot of virtual programming to try to get people engaged. And really, I mean, it's been fun. It's been a fun challenge because, you know, we've talked a little bit earlier about normal. And I don't know that we will return to normal as it currently, mm-hmm. you know, as it previously existed. So the fact that we've now created different platforms and different, you know, forms of communication and engagement, I think those will still continue to be looked to once we are able to have, you know, regain some of our capacity. But yeah, we've just done a lot of virtual, like most people, but really tried to get creative in the content that we offer to people and the benefits that we offer through them.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but we're having a virtual breakfast on January the 7th.
Yes.
Yeah, usually I would be in Austin, Texas at that time, but we're going to make it do what it do. And, yeah, I mean, honestly, we had our annual reception in June. It was fantastic. I think it was more people that would usually come because we have a reception during NACTA and in person. And so I think I had more people than I would normally have for a in-person situation. So there are some advantages. So what kind of advantages have you all seen? Have you got any new contributors or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I think that's what, you know, it's exactly what you said. We're able to reach beyond the local. And I think that's what's neat about it. You know, obviously we know we have, you know, more of a national base, but at times we aren't doing, I mean, really we aren't reaching or tapping into that audience like we should. So this has allowed us to be more strategic and dig into the data component and actually extend our arms far beyond, you know, kind of the local, you know, Metroplex or, you know, our typical base. So, yeah, we've had people, you know, join some of our virtual shows or watch some of our, for example, our Christmas programming that we did. We've had people that are able to join, just like you said, that normally wouldn't or can't always get into town for a game, but we've created an experience that, you know, is comparable that they can watch from afar. So it's been really neat to engage people and to have a touch point that's just, you know, that's equivalent to those that are close here.
Well, deep dive a little bit more. What Christmas program? What's going on?
So we did, I mean, a virtual, I mean, it's really a virtual Christmas program with a devotional, with music, with, you know, it's storytelling for the kids. I mean, it's just all kinds of, all of these pieces that you would, really, it's not something we would normally do in a normal athletic season, but it allowed us, you know, it's pushed us to be creative, to feel that sense of community and family and to be able to create something special through the screen. We also have done kind of a private chat with our coaches and our head coach specifically. He's this first-time head coach, so opportunities for people to log in and kind of have a private dialogue or what feels more intimate with him and even our AD. So we've had some neat, you know, some pretty neat opportunities, some of which we hold for those that are, you know, our Bear Foundation members, you know, our donor base, and then others we open up to the public. But yeah, it's been neat to be able to have conversations. Sometimes those with schedules that are difficult to manage are a little bit easier to grab when it's just sitting at their computer. So it's been neat. Mm-hmm.
Love that. You still have exclusivity with that. And so I think that's great. And so, yeah, I wanted to stick with the areas that was under your care versus some of the things that are dealing with COVID, but it may not be in your area. So and I thought you had enough area for me to cover because I didn't even finish all of it. Like the Baylor Vision, branding and creativity, fan engagement, strategic marketing, resource development. Resource development, is that dealing with the staff?
It is. So it's a very broad title. So under that umbrella, we have our ticket sales, ticket ops team. We have our annual giving arm, our major gifts arm. So basically any of the revenue generation pieces of the department fall under that umbrella. Got to keep us afloat.
So you've got some really important areas to have your hand in. This is. I'm really glad to have had you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
And, I think about Carolyn, and it's so nice to have this time together. But now we must go.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you again.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. And so I would like to thank my engineer, Jamila Harrison, for being my eyes and ears. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be replayed for the next 2 weeks. And we chose the individuals that were acknowledged by Women Leaders in College Sports Administrators of the Year. And I believe one of them is a Baylor employee. But you have to what? Go to a Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith on Facebook to see who that is. And so I would like to tell you all, have a significant rest of the day.